Right, there's a site. You might know what I'm looking at. Stonehenge. See some of the uprights. How enormous they are. 2 meters underground in some cases. I'm trying to work out which one is the one that was put back up in the 60s, having fallen down. There's some concrete holding it in place. You can't see. And then if we scan over there, you can see some of these burial mounds. In the middle distance. Do you see there? There's a burial mound beyond. And on the tree line, more three burial mounds, okay, of whatever local leaders has thought because of the grave goods excavated about 200 years ago. And so there's the very busy road, which is not going to be widened after all. It's going to make it a dual carriageway. And then there's Normanton Down with three burial mounds right here. Yeah, right at the distance. It seems to be near the tree line. Okay, so leaving valuables there. So heirlooms, whatever, bits of shoe, bits of cattle horn or something like that. Things they might need in the later line, bits of metal. Bits of animal bone, okay, for high status people. So suggest that they did believe in resurrection, going on towards the second life. And then more burial mounds in the distance here, you can maybe make out. It was easy to see with the naked eye, I'm not sure there's enough colour contrast to see where the burial mounds are. That is Stonehenge. So these things are incredibly heavy and they were moved hundreds of miles in some cases. So it seems to be in the centre for worship, for commemoration from all over Great Britain. And then you see a bit of this ditch that they dug, obviously much deeper. Every time it's rained for millennia, mud has gone in there and it's gradually filled up. And the mound, we're in much greater contrast with this mound I'm crossing over just now. And until certainly in the 70s, it was the 80s, you could walk right up here, stand on these stones, have your picnic on these stones. I know a bloke called Anthony James used to do that when he was a child. But so many people are visiting that it became a bit dangerous. Bear in mind, this is early in the day and the crowds would only build and build. So a world famous heritage site. So what enormous effort it took, and they shaped these stones. It's estimated it took 10 stonemasons a decade to shape them. And in later generations, people chipped off a bit of the blue stone and put it in other burial mounds. There was something valuable about this. It's thought that they imagined it had healing qualities, which is why they're so keen to bury people with it. Is it because they thought it would help them come back from the dead or something like that? So it shows this eternal fixation with escaping mortality, with conquering death. So there it is. There's an inner circle, an outer circle. There were 82 stones the maximum. You can tell that from the depressions it's caused, but some of them were later plundered for building works nearby. And there were other stones available in the area, there were quarries, but they obviously thought something worthwhile about these stones, which they transported. It must have been enormously laborious. So they made such a huge endeavor to bring these from Wales when they didn't even have the wheel. And how did they get them upright? You know, that's another thing that got people scratching their heads. Was it, so they built some sort of earth ramp? Was it wooden scaffolding? Some pulley system, something like that, but wouldn't pulleys rely on wheels? And there we go on. Okay, so there's a one-way system when the tourists come here. So there's an excellent visitor center, but the exit's through the gift shop. And then you see all these caravans over there. The caravans, that's for people who, there's an ancient right of way and some people are using it, trying to sell little things, snacks and whatever. So people have come from all over the world to see Stonehenge. And then maybe you can see the burial mounds a bit more clearly, of these barrows as they call them. OK, Okay, they can be several meters high. And again, they would have been much higher and originally built. They've obviously subsided over thousands of years. So some very important people were buried there with various grave goods. So you find them all over the British Isles. Right. And then that fence, that person's beyond it. They've got security here. I wonder if anybody breaks it in the middle of the night. Right, so that's probably enough from Stonehenge then. You see it a bit in the distance now. I've been to Stonehenge just once before. There used to be this tunnel under the road, pedestrian tunnel, that we walked through with various depictions of, you know, an artist's impression of what it was like in prehistory. There was no writing back then. History has to be the study of evidence about the past, which must include written evidence. If there's no written evidence, we're relying only on archaeological evidence and so forth, that we have to say that it's prehistory. They look at the middens and so on, as in what had they been eating, the animal bones, and from the animal's teeth, as the bit of the body that survives longest, they can tell where these animals grew up and things like that. And they, some of them had been brought hundreds of miles here. Okay, and there's actually a village where the labourers who constructed Stonehenge used to live. There were hundreds of houses there. I think it was the largest villages in northwest Europe. Remember, life was very, very short. You know, life expectancy might have been about 20. Doesn't mean you're going to die on your 20th birthday, but the life expectancy was brought down by so many children dying. So people start having children themselves in their teens. They need to do that so they can have like a dozen children, half of whom might make it to their own teenage years and so on. Otherwise, they'd be wiped out, you know, because they had virtually no medical knowledge. There's a constant battle for survival when they couldn't produce enough food and their wild animals predating them. And there's no waterproof clothing, and they're living in the rudest of hutments. And how they're going to keep themselves warm? I didn't have any coal mining, so burning a bit of wood. Of course, the fire go out of control sometimes and burn you down. So you're around animals, you're filthy all the time. They didn't know germ theory, they had no soap or anything like that. So they were extremely unhygienic, therefore, and so many pregnancies putting such a strain on a woman's health. And just fighting for survival, the struggle for these very scarce resources. They didn't have high yield varieties of crops, or didn't have, even when they had sedentary agriculture, even where they had herds, they didn't have sort of high yield varieties. It took selective breeding in the 18th century before they did that to produce more meat, milk, and whatever else. Right, so that's what's saying this right away, that English Heritage wants to get rid of these people here who are trading, selling things. Beware of pedestrians. Okay, I'll get back on the bus to go back. Right. Right. That's it. Bye-bye.